You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Worldwide Sports Radio presents Chalk Talk.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
With Renee Canales, Fogues, and James Boccioni.
How are we doing, everybody? Welcome to Chalk Talk. We're now ready to go.
There you go.
Shades inside kind of day. It was a beautiful day. Hey, I was outside doing yard work today in the middle of February. Yeah, definitely doing some yard work. We're here again on Chalk Talk, our second day here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Said it nice and slow and accurate for you. So in case you missed it, in case you don't know, we are no longer Sports on the Go One. We are the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Where can you find us?
We could find us on not only Facebook Live, not only Periscope and Twitter.
Yeah?
You could also find us on TuneIn Radio. And wait. You could find us on Spotify.
Hey.
So if you miss any parts of the episode or have missed yesterday's episode or the day before, go on to our Spotify on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network, and you could find all episodes of Chalk Talk along with our full slate of shows here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. But we got another full stable here in the Dungeon Studios. Yes, we're still calling it the Dungeon, even though it got a little bit of a facelift. Still our Dungeon.
It is darker, though, like with the...
backdrop
and stuff like that, so it kind of adds to the dungeon type of
thing. Yeah, so my sunglasses probably don't work inside, but I'm going to rock them anyway.
I was liking it.
They'll come on for serious segments.
big evil over here, the Undertaker.
Yeah, exactly.
Big evil over
here. Rolling. But plenty to talk about today, like we said, full stable here.
I cracked Mike.
We have Big Mike Rifkin on the sticks cracking up over there. To my right, we got James Boccioni. We also have Renee Canales on the other side of the room. Next to Evan Mazza of The Haystack with us, our usual guest appearance. He's pretty much a regular here on the Chalk Talk.
Unofficial.
We consider him part of the Chalk Talk family. But as I like to say, plenty to talk about on the good old chalkboard today. NBA has given us plenty of storylines. I guess we'll talk about...
John Wall?
No, we're going to talk about John Wall and the NBA. That's some definitely breaking news we'll get to. We'll get to a little bit of the MLB in the hot stove because it, I guess, is heating up a little bit, even though you guys know I hate talking about those two guys.
Now.
He who shall not be named.
Well,
apparently we got some Yankee news on the Harper front, according to our colleague over there, Renee,
and
breaking that to me, at least.
And this is why I feel that it should be mentioned, since the Yankees are putting their foot back into the race a little bit in that regard. But so we have that, and we also have Top 5 Tuesday today.
Yeah.
A little bit of an interesting one. We're going to do...
It's different.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. We wanted to go with something a little bit light, a little bit less serious. We've come out the Super Bowl, NBA, a lot of serious talk. So we're going to do our Top 5 celebrities all time we would love to see in the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game, dead or alive. So we're going to be going through, obviously, the celebrity
all-time
game.
All-time celebrities. The greatest celebrity game that we could possibly imagine.
We're going to build it. We're going to build the ultimate rosters with our starting fives.
No one who's been in it before.
Yes. We want obscure names. I'm going to build a super team. Flat out, going to build a super team.
I got a dynasty.
He's going to Golden State Warriors this thing.
Oh, absolutely. There's no way you'll be able to score on my team.
I heard
I'll
your first,
you
Dave, and I already don't think that that's true. So, but we'll get there.
We'll get to that probably along towards the 3 o'clock hour. So, plenty to talk about today. We're going to start with the progress, I guess you'd say, in the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. We've heard the news. Davis has seemed to have expanded that list of teams he would accept even a long-term extension to. Lost his TV show.
I don't even know.
Jeff's just already off to the races today.
I'm the target today, but I kind of like it. I'm here for it.
But looking at it, and now we've seen these Lakers trade requests change, the ramifications and what pieces they put in. It's evolved almost, it seems, every other hour. We're seeing a different deal from the Lakers going over to the Pelicans. And then the news coming out last night, when we were saying, what else more could the Pelicans want? They come out and say, we want 4 first-round picks. That's insane.
Why wouldn't they say that, though?
No, I get it.
The Lakers
seem
so desperate. They're offering they're offering anything and everything, it seems like, to get this guy. So if the Pelicans feel like the Lakers are going to offer everything and everything, why not ask for?
I get it.
Why not
start
as high
as
you can get?
See as much as you could get.
That's
yeah,
the world.
Four first round picks. Can but you even do that in the NBA?
If I'm the
How
Lakers,
is that spread out.
I'm not giving up four first round picks for Anthony Davis. I'm not mortgaging my entire future for the next 10 to 15 years.
I think
for
that's
him.
Just ludicrous to even do.
But that's the thing. I'm fine with moving on from the players and the young core that you've gotten. Two first round picks, okay. Four first round picks. Who's going to be playing for this team?
I mean, heck, you're technically
you're going to be forced to buy players every year.
Technically, you're giving up three first-round picks. Lonzo Ball was a first-round pick.
Well, Kyle Kuzma's a second-round pick, but he's a first-round talent.
Hmm.
It's the same thing. And if Ingram's in the deal, also a first-round pick. Ingram was the number two overall pick as well.
That's right.
So,
but the move would be to go for it, not to look in the future for the next 10 years. It's to look at the future for the next 3 years.
I agree with that as all. But you also don't want to, like you said, deplete your entire force too much because then you're investing everything you have in the next 4 years around winning a championship, which I get that should be the goal, but you can't be so short-sighted to the point as where there's nothing left when these guys leave the building, where now this Laker franchise, if it does work, which is great, I mean, how can you complain if it wins you a championship? But down the road, that could be the kind of deal, if the Lakers do that, that absolutely handicaps them in the next decade going forward.
Yeah, but think again, this is also not the Lakers making this proposal. They offered
no,
two.
Of
the Pelicans
not.
Are the ones asking for the four, just because, like I said before, I feel like they're going to start asking for the world and see where they get from there.
If they can agree on three, the
Lakers might do it at three. But, I don't think they're going to give up four first-round picks, the Lakers.
Even three feels like too
plus
much.
Plus all that talent you're giving up.
Exactly.
If you're giving up four first rounds plus all those players, you can't do that. You'd have to take out a Kuzma or an Ingram.
And that's I saw the deal of those players and two first-round picks, even with that, I was like, all right, the next first-round pick kind of stretches it out, but you're giving them an offer. We said it's an offer you can't refuse kind of deal, and then they said, let's see if we can try to get a little more, which,
Lakers are desperate.
The Lakers seem desperate to get him. They see what happens if they don't get him now by Thursday, and this goes into the offseason. But then there's the thing. It looks like the Pelicans want to get this done because they held him out last night.
Yeah, and they've already taken his name and his face off of the opening starting video.
He said last night he was healthy and ready to play, and they said just hold off. So it looks like they're going to hold off and try to move him because what's the reason we see in any sport why you don't play a guy? Because you're going to trade him and you don't want to get him hurt.
Well, if you're a fan of the New Orleans Pelicans and you go to a game, are you going to go sit there and cheer Anthony Davis, the guy who just told you he doesn't want to play for your city? No, I'm buying a ticket if he's in that starting lineup to go boo the shit out of him. Am I right?
Yeah, but then what happens now if you don't get this deal? You're 100% right.
You have to get the deal done. The deal's getting done.
But if they
the deal
if
is
you
getting
don't
done.
Get it done.
There's no doubt in my mind that this deal is getting done. After you take him out of that start, after you scratch him like you said last night and you take him out of that starting video, this was a face of your franchise. Mm-hmm. To make that move proves that this guy is no longer a part of your team anymore. He's gone. They're just trying to see if what the most they can get right now is.
But then what does that tell to the Lakers now? They just made this huge offer, counter offer with four first round picks and the players
and
everything. No, I know it's a counter offer, but from a Lakers mindset, I'm looking at that and saying they're not even playing this guy. They want to get him out of the building. I'm not giving him four first round picks. I'm going to be able to talk him back down to my two first round
picks.
And I know it's just process of negotiation, but I really don't want to see the Lakers just be like we said, that desperate and just be like, okay, we'll do it, whatever you want. Because this has to be, while New Orleans does have the pull and the leverage in that they have Anthony Davis, the Lakers know he doesn't want to be there. So it's that power struggle of who's going to blink first in my eyes. But if the Lakers were to cave to this and give four first-round picks and all of those players, it's too much.
The Pelicans are trying to strong on the Lakers right now because they know that they have the best player in the deal, and they know that the Lakers want him more than any other. You know, they want to give up. They're willing to give up the farm to get this player. So they're in the strong hand position. They really are, and they can ask for this. They don't have to give Anthony Davis the Lakers right now. They don't want to.
No, of course not.
They can decide just to bench him all the rest of the season if they really, really want to do that.
But that's what goes on to my next point. If they don't get this done, if they decide we don't need to do this now and wait till the offseason when other teams can kind of get involved in it, do you play him the rest of the year?
I don't think
after not playing him for this and saying we're holding you out, and then you're going to play him?
I think they've gone beyond the point of trying to sort of take him away from the team perspective. They've taken him off the intro videos. They've sat him out already. I mean, it's at the point where, all right, he's not going to be a part of this anymore. let's just focus on what we have here
and get
now.
A better pick without
yeah,
him.
Yeah, but with 2-3 months left in the season, you're going to tell this guy you're not allowed to play?
Yeah.
If he wants
he
to play?
He doesn't want to play for you. He said it. You didn't tell him. He told you. That's how I see it.
Unless the deal doesn't get done, he honestly, he plays unless the deal, unless they know for a fact, okay, nothing's going to get done this time. You play. You get your value up.
But then there's no,
but you can't get his value any higher.
Why would you risk? Why would you risk playing him and risk exactly. him tearing an ACL or tweaking an ankle or any sort of freak injury on going up for a layup,
on a
going
bar
up for
of soap?
I get it, but if you have this guy saying I'm being held hostage, I know I said I didn't want to play, and you're not going to let me play. I mean, Anthony Davis is one of the best players of the generation. We want to see him sitting on the sideline in a suit now because.
Of course. You don't want that.
I'd rather. I mean, I get it. For the Pelicans, it's why we get to play this guy, especially when we need to flip him and get him out of there. And we can't have him have any serious kind of an injury, and then we get nothing for him. Mm. Then he walks out the door, and then it's a lose-lose for everybody.
Yes.
But I don't want to see the guy now be forced into not being able to play. Like, part of the whole speech he made when he said he requested the trade was, hey, I get this. I've been here a while. I'm trying. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to play this game. I want to take control of my career and build on my legacy. It's right. about legacy. He's the one guy where I look at him and he doesn't seem like it's about the money for him. He's one of those guys where it seems like he generally thinks it's about his legacy. He said, I want to be remembered for what I do in this league 100 years from now, not how much money I made.
He wants to win.
Because he's walking away from us. He would be, I think, the first $300 million player if he stayed with the Pelicans. He'd be the first one eligible for that like super, super max where he made that kind of money.
Right.
And he wants to walk away from that to pursue his own legacy. And I get the Pelicans need to protect himself. But are you really going to have this guy just sit out now until you make a move? If that's the case, get him out of there. Get him out of there by Thursday.
If this is about legacy, then why is it that two of the four teams he wants to sign extensions with are the Knicks and the Clippers?
Well, the Knicks is the legacy standpoint of it's appealing, and if you're the guy that gets the Knicks
winning
over the top, you're the next Mark Messier in New York. Because think about that. As a Ranger fan growing up, I loved Mark Messier. I thought he was a god. I thought he was the greatest hockey player of all time for that 94 Rangers team. You look at the stats, that was Adam Graves' team and what he did in scoring. There's other guys that made that team great, but Messier was the name and the guy that came in there, was the promise of winning a championship and helped them get over the top. If you're Anthony Davis, and this is why Kevin Durant is linked to there and everybody else, especially for a guy like Davis or Durant, who are the top players in your game, if you bring a championship to New York in terms of legacy, that may even put you above, especially in Kevin Durant, don't you think that puts Durant above LeBron in that seat? If he comes to New York and wins a championship, that's where that comes in terms of legacy.
LeBron
if
didn't
if I, yeah, I know, but it took forever, and then he had to build a super team to do it.
If you're the Knicks, though, you're not going to get Anthony Davis because you can't. How are you going to get him? He's not a free agent this summer. You got to make a trade, and the Knicks already just traded Kristaps Porzingis. They're one piece.
Sorry,
so
the Pelicans
didn't want Kristaps Porzingis. You made an offer to try to get Anthony Davis. The Pelicans said no. You're not going to get Anthony Davis. He's going to be gone by the time you have a chance to get him. So that's out the window.
That was more in the terms of talking down the road if he's a free agent. He said the Knicks were on the list of his teams that he would consider signing a long term extension with.
Because remember, at the end of the day, if he doesn't necessarily get traded to the Lakers, whatever team he goes to essentially will be a one-year deal.
But there's no other team that's even making an offer for him right now, the Lakers.
Sign with the Knicks, Clippers, and Bucks.
It seems pretty, the thing,
he changed that list where he said Knicks, Clippers, Lakers, Bucks, he would all sign extensions with.
Yes.
But those teams.
Dude, him on the Bucks would be so good.
That's what we say yesterday. Can you imagine him and Giannis?
I watched them last night. Him and Giannis.
Talk about a game played above the rim.
Oh, dude.
Jesus. That would be a lot of fun. And I'm a Laker fan who wants Anthony Davis in the worst way, saying that would be a lot of fun for basketball. But, I mean, you look at it, in terms of this move for the Lakers, I think getting it done is so important because of the fact and why they feel the urgency to, and they look so desperate to get it done, is look at the last 5 years and everything that's happened since Kobe went out the door, since David Stern stopped Chris Paul from going in there, since Dwight Howard and Steve Nash didn't work out, since you said you were going to sign LaMarcus Aldridge and didn't, since you said you were going to get Kawhi Leonard and didn't, since you said you were going to get Paul George and didn't. The Lakers,
but you got the better than any
LeBron.
Of those possible
Yeah, of
things.
Course. Of course, you got LeBron. But it used to not be one in a million that the Lakers get. It used to be they got whatever they want.
Breaking news.
Okay.
What's up?
The Lakers out of Anthony Davis talks.
No!
According to the LA Times, the Lakers have pulled out.
I feel like that's just a move.
Because of Pelicans' outrageous
That is just a move where they're trying to now strong arm the Pelicans. Yeah. That's totally what that just is.
Smokescreen?
I like the move.
That's a great counter by the Lakers. That's a good move. I like that. Could give themselves power again.
Picks? Dude, that's ridiculous.
Because now, like we talked about, in a situation where they're desperate to move him, they're going to be like, oh, no. See, they're now not, they're in the situation.
Yeah, exactly. The Lakers just got some power back
a little bit.
Now the Pelicans are back.
Because the Pelicans were playing a dangerous game, and they made an outrageous offer. Like I was saying, they had the power. They had the position, but it was too much. Like, and they got greedy, and now it's going
to
bite them.
Because now they're in a situation where it's, oh, if we don't get this done, are we going to play him? Are we going to do this? Why does that keep growing?
See, that's the point with draft picks.
That's why I imagine.
Are they just trolling the Lakers at this point now?
That's why I think Magic Johnson just hung up the phone at some point.
No, the Lakers are desperate to get Anthony Davis. They're not that
But they're
desperate.
Not that desperate because they also know if
How
they don't
you
get
trade
him.
Six to eight draft picks.
Jeff, we understand that the Celtics will be involved in the summer. You don't have to keep mentioning it. We get it.
But it's not the
we
news at the moment.
Get
so.
It. The point is. With this is now the Pelicans get stuck in that opportunity where they need to either re-engage the trade talks and come to the Lakers to re-engage them or and say, okay, let's get this going. It's not...
The Knicks don't have...
They call the request outrageous.
Can I throw a question out to you because you're the Lakers fan?
Sure.
So one of your best friends probably in life, LeVar Ball, came out yesterday and said he didn't want Lonzo playing in New Orleans.
I don't really care.
No. This, it doesn't matter if you care or not.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that could have had some sort of impact on the Pelicans side?
None.
Okay.
None. I don't think so just because if they want to, they can then trade Lonzo Ball if they really want to. But he's still an asset. Mm-hmm. He's still
very
that asset. Yes, a very good young 19, 20-year-old asset
right.
who at this time last year was very, very coveted.
Mm-hmm.
And he's... Lonzo's taken a big step this year when he's played. Obviously, the injury issues have been there, but he's 100% an asset. The guy has some of the best court vision we've seen. We've seen him now develop that jump shot, the way he runs the offense. Him and LeBron, that's the one thing with this where I have no problem giving up these players. And I developed, like, obviously a little bit of a like for these players. I've watched them play and take the lumps over the last few years when this team has been bad.
Mm-hmm.
You could see the connection, and LeBron has said it too, where him and Lonzo, in some point in Lonzo's development, could be great together.
Yeah.
Like, their games would fit really well. Lonzo would have to develop his jump shot a little bit more, but Lonzo's passing ability, defensive ability, his ability to throw a full court pass and hit LeBron in the hands is great. But the problem is you just don't have the time to wait for that.
This is an excerpt from the LA Times report, Broderick Turner of the LA Times. This is an excerpt from the article. Magic Johnson told Dell Demps Tuesday morning this morning that Los Angeles has made its best offer that the Pelicans had wanted, but that the Lakers were not willing to add anything else and would be moving on. The Lakers were not going to give the Pelicans the 68 draft picks they wanted for Davis, and the person said knowing that the 4 first-round picks and second-round picks were more than the Lakers would offer.
Yeah, it's exactly what it should be. It's exactly what it should be. They're not going to give in to them. We don't give in to their demands.
We will not go quietly into the night.
We will not go quietly into the pale moonlight. But we have our first caller of the day. I can only imagine who it is on the line.
John Cena.
Who do we got here?
Is it The Rock?
Let me make my case for why Lonzo Ball isn't an athlete.
And I'm not saying
that he's not a good player. Don't think that I'm saying that he's not good because that's not the case. But the Pelicans want young players that will stay. If you're already forcing your way out of New Orleans, that's a player you won't keep. And if other teams know he doesn't want to play there, his trade value is diminished. So he's not necessarily an asset that you can get things back for. If they know he's leaving anyways, he's a diminished asset.
But is Anthony Davis' trade value diminished in any way since he said he wants to leave and teams know he wants to leave?
It's not Lonzo Ball who said anything. It's his stupid father, LeVar.
Yeah.
Lonzo didn't say a word.
And I think the Lakers have shown, if anything, also they could silence LeVar because this is the first thing you've heard out of his mouth in like a year.
Yeah.
Right, but we all know his father controls what he wants to do, right? Like he listens to those kids. Say what you want. Those kids listen to their father. That's the reason why a 14-year-old kid was ripped out of high school to go to Lithuania.
This is what one source told Broderick Turner of the LA Times. One source said Pelicans are hopeful that if Davis isn't traded by Thursday's deadline, that he'll want to stay and play for the Pelicans going forward. But the source said that's not going to happen, and Davis is not changing his mind.
You're not
going
to get Anthony Davis to accept to play in New Orleans anymore. He already said he doesn't want to be there. They can't put the pieces around him to make that team grow and be a title contender. He's not going to want to stay. So the Pelicans need to get their head out of their ass and move this guy so both parties can move on. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense to keep him around.
But let's say on topic in what we have with Lonzo and being an asset or not. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying if LeVar's saying he doesn't want to play there, and that especially it looks like these younger two of the Suns really do listen to LeVar, especially LaMelo, the younger – or is LiAngelo is the younger one?
LiAngelo.
LiAngelo is the middle one.
I think it's the other way.
LiAngelo is the youngest.
Yes. LaMelo is the youngest.
LaMelo is the youngest? Yeah. Okay.
Jello is the one that's in Europe or something.
Well, he's a bum anyway, the middle one.
I think
he wasn't going to be an NBA
talent. Yeah, he's not good.
LaMelo
like actually has some potential, but the middle one's not good.
And he's back now playing in the States. He's at, what is it, Spire Academy in Los Angeles, something like that. But
no, he's in Ohio playing.
Where it is. I just know it was Spire Academy. I didn't know where it was because I know they live out of LA in Chino Hills. And I think that's part of the reason that LeVar's running his mouth. He wants to keep his son close on the West Coast. You go to New Orleans, you're going all the way to the Bayou, towards the East Coast, towards Florida down there, compared to Phoenix, which is still within a short flight from LA for LeVar Ball. LeVar Ball is only concerned with LeVar Ball.
I think he also sees a young team in Phoenix, and he likes what they get, DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley. That's a pretty nice core that they're building down in Phoenix.
Oh, absolutely, and he wants Lonzo to be in the spotlight, and I totally get that. But I think one of the things that was brought up a lot when the Lakers drafted Lonzo was Lonzo saying, like, I'm my own man. Like, they made that a big deal between Magic Johnson and him.
Well,
and Lonzo
he's in the
saying,
show now. He doesn't need his father to get him anywhere. He's in the NBA.
And there hasn't been any kind of an issue between Lonzo and LeVar getting involved. LeVar made a couple of comments early on about Luke Walton. That's really been it. They've seemed to be able to keep him under wraps, especially in L.A., where now that LeBron's in there, you're not going to get that attention. You're not going to. Now you go to Phoenix, you see he sees the opportunity that if Lonzo's going out, he'll be able to now have that microphone opportunity where he'll be on the camera. I think the guy is a selfish pig. I think he only cares about himself. While he does, you can't say he doesn't support his kids and give them every opportunity to succeed, because he does.
I'm not saying that anybody said that.
But it is a common thing with, like, people will bash him. He does give his kids every opportunity to succeed and put them, the brand he's built around them, in my eyes, has helped them. It has. But he's looking for that spotlight. But I don't think that affects the asset that is Lonzo Ball. One, from the skill set and the basketball player that he is and the potential that he has to grow into. And two, while you say his value is diminished, he's still under contract. You're not going to have to worry about him being like, oh, we're trading him, then he's going to walk away from you. He's still an asset with a couple of years under where you're going to have control for a few years, and you know that if this is a situation, like he said he would like to go to Chicago also or go to New York. If there's something with assets line up and they say, we'll flip this, we want this, it could still work out easily where that's a beneficial trade for New Orleans. New Orleans, especially with the picks that they're coveting, whether they get them or not, and along with the other assets of Kuzma, Ingram, whether it's Zubac in the deal, you're going to still have guys where even if you don't want those pieces, you have exactly flexibility where you could turn that into other kind of scenarios and trades. Jeff, we got to go to break though in a second, so make any other point you got to make, you want to slide in real quick.
I agree with you that LeVar Ball has pretty much been under wraps. But he's been under wraps because he's got his way. He's got his kid in Los Angeles. How big of a problem do you think LeVar will be if his kid ends up in a situation that he doesn't want to be in? So, and how many organizations are equipped to handle that?
You're right. I mean, but you're going to need a bigger name. A lot of it's easy. I'm not going to say you need. It'll be easier for a bigger name organization to handle that. But at the same time, in a media circus that may be like a Knicks or a Chicago where it could get more attention. L.A., it got drowned out because you had LeBron that came there, the news of Magic Johnson coming on, Rob Pelinka is Kobe Bryant's agent. Yeah. So you knew that they did everything they could to make that a non-issue. It could also be the same point where if he goes to one of these places like a New Orleans or a Phoenix where the media attention just isn't that big, they're not exactly primetime teams where you're seeing them 55 times a year, you're not going to see LeVar Ball's mug all over the place. You'll hear him there maybe, but you're not going to see it in the national news.
To me, I've never seen Lonzo so far in his career let LeVar's antics or words affect him at all. He's always said the right thing, so I think any franchise sees that and goes, okay, this guy may say something, but he's just, you know, he's just smoke.
His dad has one thing to say, but the player himself.
Yeah. He's his own man. I really do think that Lonzo Ball is becoming his own man.
Yeah, and at this
point. Then LeVar should just shut up and let him be his own
son. Well, of course,
but it's
really,
LeVar.
Stop talking.
LeVar can't do that.
That's the thing, but because of what LeVar does, I think it reflects on Lonzo so much.
Yes.
I don't think he likes
when
it.
When we forget that Lonzo Ball has come out and said, he said, I'm my own
every
man.
Time,
I make my own
said.
Decisions. My dad has nothing to do with what I do. Lonzo Ball has a kid at this point. Lonzo Ball's living on his own. This isn't like a little kid anymore. That's his father's making his decisions. The younger guys, yeah. But I think Lonzo is man enough to come into whatever place he goes to and says,
I want
to
be here.
I'm here.
Yeah, don't worry about
don't listen to what he says. He's just my crazy dad running his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I don't know, man.
It's sports. There's a lot of crazy parents.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't trust anything about that family, man. They're the same shysters that tried to sell $300 pair of hospital shoes.
You're not wrong there. Those shoes are not very nice for the price that they're paying. But we got to go to break. Our first break here on Chalk Talk on
call, Jeff.
The Worldwide Sports Radio Network. We thank Jeff from Tampa for calling in. Obviously,
he's still pottying.
Obviously, still pottying hard as the New England Patriots Championship Super Bowl parade
Six
comes
titles.
Down Yawkey Way. Past Fenway Park. I don't even think it goes by Fenway Park.
Past Gillette, past Fenway, past every
past Gillette Stadium, past the Cheers Bar.
Grandy Man.
Going past Yale University, the National Lampoon's Castle.
Yeah.
How many more people can we offend?
The Kennedy, the Kennedy Compound.
All right, we're heading to break here on sports on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Worldwide. That was like almost a slip up.
It was, right?
But it wasn't. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back after this.
Botchmania.
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. You're listening to Chalk Talk on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back again after that quick break. We are back again. 2:50 on the old clock. Eastern Standard Time here from Bohemia, New York.
A little Chris Farley in there.
Yeah.
Going up to Chicago, over to Detroit,
in the van, down by the river, smoking doobies in a van down by the river. What do you do, Johnny? I'm a writer. Only thing you're going to be using those papers for is rolling doobies. And then he falls on the table.
Oh, Mr. Farley.
The best is David Spade the entire time. Just now, cracking up.
Foreshadowing.
Now I hear myself.
Foreshadowing. Okay. But we're back here on Chalk Talk. Here.
So anyway, couch.
Yes. So if you guys haven't been listening, I often like to reference.
Since October, since we started this.
Since literally like the first week of Chalk
Talk. Since
we started
this joint.
Back in the days when we were Sports on the Go One, a long, long time ago, I often bring light to the story that Antonio Brown threw a couch off of a balcony and almost crushed a young boy. And it gets no media attention. We joked about it last week. There was a couch in a tree in Manhattan. I said it had to have been Antonio Brown. There's no way it could be anyone else than Antonio Brown. But the whole point of it was, how did that story go unnoticed? How does that story not become national media attention when he almost crushed a child? And then we find this, that there's apparently been a report of a domestic incident between Antonio Brown dating back to January of this year or last year, was it?
This year, January.
Last month.
Well.
He has not been arrested.
Was it with his wife?
Sources told TMZ and CBS Pittsburgh that a woman contacted the Hollywood and Florida Police Department about the incident. Police confirmed they did investigate and told TMZ Mr. Antonio Brown was involved in a domestic dispute. No arrests are made. Can confirm, though, Hollywood police that Antonio Brown was involved in a January domestic dispute. No arrests made. Yada, yada, yada. So that's pretty much it. There are really no further details at this point. It was some domestic disputes in January. Something happened.
I mean, so we joked about it a lot on the show because it got no attention, and we really didn't know what the case was, what was going on. But this is a pretty serious situation now.
This is from Antonio Brown's lawyer, Darren Heitner. The allegations are baseless, and it's false. It's unfortunate that the media is trying to use distractions like this and prior stories in an effort to tarnish my client's name and reputation.
Tarnish it? He's done it on his own. You can blame the media all you want. When you can't control your emotions to the point where you throw a couch off a balcony, that's on you. If you're putting yourself in a situation where already people are kind of questioning your mental state with the stuff you're doing involving the Steelers, the stuff you post on Instagram, and then you get involved in a domestic violence incident. You're putting yourself in this situation. He's putting himself in it.
I don't know why the Steelers or any Steeler player are talking about this. Cam Hayward tweeted, "Y'all deserve more. Back to work." Why are you tweeting about this?
What is that reference to?
I have
Y'all deserve more.
He tweeted to the fan base.
Probably deserve more information.
About the players' antics in the fan base. Telling the fans, hey, listen, you know, stuff like this, you deserve better than this. All right.
Now we know that the NFL is probably going to take an absolute, like, spotlight, like,
but that's the thing.
Microscope and really scope this out because
that's what I said. Now this is a thing.
If they look at this now and then they use this couch thing, I'm gonna lose my mind because that's just no. But in all seriousness,
right.
I know I make light of this thing all the time, but the NFL knows about this.
The couch thing was serious.
They know it's a serious thing. He almost killed a child.
Yeah.
He almost killed
a child.
That's
a domestic dispute.
Let alone, which is
a serious thing.
Yes. Yeah. Let alone hitting another person. A woman or child he put at risk in both of these possible situations. And now if you're telling me the NFL is going to go back, investigate this, and then we're going to start hearing about this stupid couch thing again,
yeah,
and they're going to use that, it's just another, like, demerit on the NFL. It's something they knew about.
Yep.
And we don't want to talk about it. It just makes it look like they don't care.
They kind of try to hide it until TMZ brings it out. TMZ is like the worst enemy of the NFL.
Will the NFL finally get it right?
They already got it wrong.
They can't get anything
they've
right.
Already
in this
gotten
point.
It wrong well, because it happened months
they've,
ago.
They've dropped the ball so many times in these cases that forever the NFL will always be. There'll be someone that has an issue with how they end.
Oh, guaranteed that the reason why this didn't come out on the NFL's, you know.
Jeff's got a point. Dave Portnoy may be the worst.
Apparently.
Mike, he's taking very good care of me. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, buddy.
You're the best, Mike.
Mike Guido.
We love you.
Yeah. Hope you're feeling better. He's taking good care of me.
Because of the fact that it happened in January, they didn't want this Antonio Brown situation to take away from the spotlight of the upcoming Super Bowl. So maybe that's why they didn't let it out. But that's stupid on their part because they're not doing your part.
That's a great point, too, because this just didn't happen in a day.
No, mm-hmm. This happened last month.
And there was report, and whatever these reports came out, and they investigated this. The NFL knew about it damn well. You're going to tell me
they didn't?
They knew.
Steelers knew about it.
And now it only comes out 2 days after the Super Bowl. Come on, man. Well,
Steelers knew about it.
What are we protecting Antonio Brown for?
It's like the Kareem Hunt situation, right?
What are you protecting anybody for in that situation? There's no name that's above that situation.
No, absolutely not.
Kareem Hunt issue happened in February. When did we find out about that? Midway through the freaking season.
When the video came out.
That's what we found out about
it. But the Chiefs handled it the right way once the video came
out. As an organization and the NFL, you're supposed to handle that in that situation. You don't wait 6 months for that to happen.
What if that video hadn't come out?
Stupid.
Now, here's another angle about this. Judging on when this has all occurred, what do you think the Steelers know about this?
They probably knew from the get-go.
They know.
They probably knew from the get-go.
They know. And obviously with the drama that led up to it.
And if they didn't, it's even worse.
Yes.
Yeah. If they don't know, then that's a black mark
even worse
on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Even worse on them.
And
every organization
we're assuming they knew because we assume the Chiefs knew way before that video came out.
The Chiefs said they knew. They spoke to Kareem Hunt
and he said Hunt lied to them.
Exactly.
But if the Steelers knew, does this not make it more clear of why they're just going to say, get out, get out, get out? They don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, but
if he's gone, it's off their hands.
Yeah, but
it's not their problem anymore.
Yeah, but then What organization in their right mind is going to want that black clock?
Exactly why, in my eyes, I think the Steelers knew and desperately didn't want this to come out yet. And desperately wanted to get him out of the building before it came out.
Look how much money you just paid
him. Yeah. And now, how can you – you can't trade him for anything.
No one's going to – well,
no one's going to touch him if he's real.
Right
down,
100% right there.
If there's one thing we know about the NFL, you're going to need hard, hard evidence, video, photography, whatever. If there isn't any of that – I think he'll be on the team next year.
Yeah, because there was so much evidence in the Ezekiel Elliott case.
Well, he also played a lot that season. That dragged out how long? Because there was no hard evidence, like Evan said. And now they tried to drag it out as long as they could. When we saw Kareem Hunt drop kick a woman in the face, everyone goes, "Oh, holy shit!" Like, what? That's when everyone freaked out.
Now we're gonna get a situation. Now we're gonna get a situation in which Antonio Brown is not gonna make that lit. That he's gonna be on that list where he's. What is that? That
commission list. He almost killed a child.
I know,
but I'm saying though, like now that this has come out to the light, now that list, you know,
gets even bigger.
And people love Antonio Brown, but hate Josh Gordon because he smokes a little weed. Give me a break.
Antonio Brown has been glorified
for a lot
for
of
years
weed.
And years and years. He's been glorified.
But to go to your point. I think there's one or two teams that would still take Antonio
it's
Brown.
Stupid,
even
though.
You can't right now.
Kareem Hunt's going to come back.
Yeah, but he's gone through the process.
No, he hasn't.
He's going to be suspended still.
Oh, I know
still.
He's going
to
be suspended.
It happened to him already.
Oh, I know.
So now teams know the situation. With Antonio Brown, it's all question marks. If I'm going to trade assets for a guy that's going to be put on the exempt list and miss 6 to 8 games, why am I going to do that?
You're not
going to
right now.
And then you never know if that guy mentally is going to be the same again because he seems to be cracking more and more by the day. So then it can't be the same thing when you're talking about a guy that you don't know if he's going to be suspended. You don't know if he's going to do this. You don't know if he's going to throw another couch out of a window. You don't know if he's going to go on Instagram and go on a rant. You don't know if he's going to complain with your young quarterback. Don't know what to expect from this guy anymore.
Well, I feel like Big Mike was saying that eventually a team's going to sign Antonio Brown. And that's where kind of I was getting at, too. I didn't mean like right now he was going to be a trader. I meant like he's going to be in the league eventually after this.
So now what
happens.
Do the Steelers do? You're forced to keep him? If it's going
you
through,
know,
right.
You
to play
him. He goes in the exempt list, right? He would go in the exempt list and be out for pretty much the year.
If they're going to have to let it play any out. Validity to this, the Steelers, I don't care. You cannot think about yourself. You cut him right away. You cut
That's
him.
The move.
You
I mean,
do not.
How much dead
you
money?
Do not. I don't care. I don't care.
The Kareem Hunt
I don't care.
The Kareem
this
Hunt
guy,
situation
he did
can
this,
show you
you
now.
You cut
that.
Him right away.
No, I
the
agree.
Same way Kareem Hunt got cut right away. I don't care about potential. I don't care about ability. I don't care if you're a Hall of Famer. If you're in that spotlight, I don't care if you're a nobody who has no reputation at all. If you make that, it's not a mistake. It's a choice. And if you do that, no. The Steelers need to cut him, eat any kind of money it's like. You don't hold on to him to try to trade him.
Look at what happened. Look at what happened to the Giants with that.
Yes, with
the
punter Brown.
Yeah, Brown.
John Brown or Josh Brown.
Whatever, you know. Yeah.
And they were trying to hold. We don't know. They got ripped apart.
Exactly.
If that wasn't a punter, it would have been even worse.
The Steelers aren't going to want. They don't want that negative attention on their organization, especially with now the Antonio Brown situation where. You know the mishaps in the locker room, the egos and all that stuff.
This is
now on top of that.
This is their one chance to get it right.
They have to get it right.
Sure.
This
is their
right.
one
cut
chance to get it right and stop themselves from being this train wreck of an embarrassment that they've been this past
cut
2 months.
His ass. His ass does not belong in that locker room. If this is true, his ass deserves to be suspended and who knows what else.
Move on. Why would you even want this guy anymore? Look what he's done. What have you won with him?
Everyone's
shit.
He is a cancer.
Don't a damn thing.
He's
you
a cancer
Juju
in the
Smith
locker room.
Schuster in there. You just drafted a second round wide receiver.
James Washington.
Yeah.
Who's really good.
And I know it would have been very, very beneficial for the Steelers to get assets. But now this isn't about beneficial. This isn't about football. This isn't about
this
winning
is about
a championship.
Human,
this is about this guy doesn't deserve to be on a football field at this point if he did it. He serves his suspension. And at that point, if he comes back and a team gives him a chance, of course, every man's, I guess, deserves a second chance. Greg Hardy's gotten 10 of them. I mean, you look at guys get second chance.
Pac-Man Jones.
Like we said, Josh Gordon, even though it's a completely different thing, has gotten plenty of second chances.
And he still might come back.
And they're talking about
Cleveland. Yeah. He still might come back.
Oh, the Patriots are paying for his care. Did you see that? The Patriots are paying for his counseling, his treatment, everything, and they said he'll have a spot here if he wants to come back.
You talk about a league. That wants to be so strict on PED use and drugs
and this and that. And third time, you're being suspended. But, you're being suspended for life, but you still get the chance to come back in. This is a league of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh chances in a row. When is the league finally going to get it right that, all right, he committed this atrocious crime, for example, right?
You want to send a message?
Send a message? Leave him out.
You want to send a message?
Ban him.
Ban him! Just leave him out.
Do that now. You can't just do that.
That's the thing.
No.
Because of how
in a situation needs to be a new CBA agreement.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Because of how everything has gone in the last 5 to 10 years with all these issues with, and how Roger Goodell and the NFL have handled it.
I'm not speaking specifically to the Antonio Brown situation. I'm talking about.
Yeah, of course. But in any suspension, case and fines and violation, the NFL is always under that microscope, and they've dropped the ball since going back to Ray Rice.
Pretty much every time.
Every time they've been done something, well, maybe we'll do it this way this time. But that's ridiculous.
You know what pisses me off about it the most?
The Ravens dropped the ball on that
one. They can't get their domestic violence suspensions right.
There is no policy.
There is no policy.
Is there a video?
Exactly.
There
is no policy. But they can short damn.
I think they base their.
Come on,
they base
you're
going to
give Tom Brady
they
six
exactly
games.
Exactly what I'm going.
They base suspensions pretty much based off of fan reaction.
Exactly
they wait and
what
see
I'm
the outrage
at.
And they go, "Oh yeah, wait, that was bad. You're right." They have no.
And then
no,
you see domestic violence.
No,
some guys get 4 games. Some guys get 6 games. Some guys get
that's
two games.
But that's exactly what I'm going at.
Jameis Winston got what? 4 games?
3 games?
Three games for an absolutely disgusting act that he did to that poor Uber driver. Disgusting. And then he comes in and gets 3 games. And you're then talking about the whole thing, and this is, I'm not justifying anything Ezekiel Elliott may have or may have not done, because he's definitely made his own share of mistakes. That guy then gets 6 games when you're not even sure if he committed a crime.
And like
it's the outrage.
And like
I'm telling you, they
basically,
it's like a reality show. It's like vote for the suspension. It's like, that's what it's coming to.
That's the thing, to go back to Brady. Just because Goodell couldn't stand him, he wanted to give him as many games as he could.
He deflated fucking footballs, and he gets 4 game suspensions, 5 games, whatever the hell it was. Deflating footballs.
When everyone
but they
on
can't
that
get
team
the domestic
also,
violence policy right. Are you serious? As a league, you can't get that right. What's more important, deflating footballs or hitting women?
What about the center? He didn't know the footballs didn't felt a little different. What about the running back? What about the receiver? What about anyone on that freaking team? But that entire Patriots team knew that football was a little dense. But Tom Brady
the coach picked that ball off and brought it to their sideline, for Christ's sake. It was out of the game. They still tried to suspend him for 6 freaking game.
That's what I always say about the deflate game. Like, it wasn't Tom Brady who only benefited from those footballs. Right. Like, it wasn't.
What did the NFL. All right. Ben Roethlisberger.
That's another one.
That's something I said to you guys before I came in the studio.
Two rape charges, right? What was the suspensions for that? 3 games, I think, or something like that? Did he even get suspended for that?
And it wasn't one accusation.
It was two. Two.
Are you serious? Like, as a league, how can you constantly let this happen? And you're a league that makes billions of dollars. You're a league that has one of the biggest games.
We'd rather find someone $50,000 for a clean hit.
Yeah,
exactly. We see Clay Matthews getting fined every week for sacking a quarterback. Breaking news, Clay Matthews just tackled a gas station attendant and he was fined for roughing the passer.
He got fined $75,000 for that.
What are we focusing on here?
That's the thing. The NFL can't focus on the right things. The NFL doesn't know what's right and what's wrong here.
But they keep making money, and we all keep watching because we love the NFL, and that's
exactly.
why.
That's the point.
That's what I was trying to get
it's
at.
It's the most watched. It's the most followed. Everybody knows what's going on in the NFL.
The NFL has the biggest game.
Time and time again, it's the NFL where these incidents seem to happen.
And Big Mike, before you get to that. The NFL, for the Super Bowl, has companies left and right paying millions and millions of dollars for 30-second ads. 30-second ads. A company that spends that sells tickets $2,000, $3,000 for the Super Bowl.
We talk about with even the halftime performance, what you told me last week. Guys, performers do that act
for free.
For the recognition.
Maroon 5,
the greatest marketing thing
in
the world.
Maroon 5 and
More
Travis
people
Scott.
Have talked about Maroon 5 in the last 3 days than ever before.
Maroon 5 and Travis Scott both donated $500,000 to charity.
That's great.
What did SpongeBob donate? Kelp?
Yeah, Kelp? Krabby Patties. Roethlisberger got suspended 4 games back in 2010 for the, I think, the first rape charge.
And then you have guys, all right.
I've got
and
6.
What did Edelman get?
Six.
What did Edelman get to start the season?
Four
for PEDs.
Four for PEDs.
Mike, you said
Jameis
you got
six. Jameis got 3.
Jameis got three for what he did.
Mike has Roethlisberger.
Six games in the first six games of the 2010 season.
It was six. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then just, you look at it. There's just no consistency.
That's the root cause of the problem. There's no consistency.
How about Major League Baseball?
It's lawless.
Look at Major League Baseball's standpoint on. We know exactly where Major League Baseball stands on PEDs, domestic violence. You get hit for domestic violence, 80 games.
Right off the bat.
80 games right away. No ifs, ands, or buts. Yep. 80 games. You lose half your season, and you're not eligible for the postseason. Same thing with PEDs. You do it again.
More games.
I'm not sure with domestic violence. I think it may go to a straight ban
in MLB. The pitcher.
Well, I don't think we've seen that yet. So.
Roberto Ozuna.
He had two. Straight to the Astros, right?
Yeah.
He had two.
No, he had one.
Yeah,
I don't think we've seen someone do it a second time. Well, I mean, thank God, but
yeah.
Well, we've seen situations, and
Jose Reyes got 80 games,
like Aroldis Chapman. He got accused of domestic violence and whatnot, and I think he was cleared of that, but he was still suspended 45 games or 50 games to start the season when he first got traded to the Yankees from the Cincinnati Reds. There's consistency there,
sure.
One way or another, you're going to get suspended. Why can't the NFL get it right?
It's just like they look, oh, but our season's so short. We don't want this guy.
I don't give a rat's
ass about all the money we're
losing. I really don't.
Does Major League Baseball give a crap?
No. Mike Guido just put on the Periscope. I believe he said you have to apply for a reinstatement after a second time.
That's what it is, right? You have to apply for it?
I believe.
So it's not even like a full season. You're banned and have to apply for reinstatement.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
MLB, I mean, that's what wouldn't have anywhere here.
Yeah, that was three PED charges.
Yeah, and he applied for reinstatement, and Bud Selig, Manfred.
Which I'm shocked he got.
And
he
still signed.
And he just got signed.
The minor league deal with the Red Sox.
Oh, Mejia?
Yeah.
And then you saw Peter Mullen on Twitter. Right, how it's ridiculous.
Mitch Moreland, was it? Or Peter?
Peter Moreland.
Where he said he's not signed yet, but
Henry Beer's been suspended for a known steroid user
who was banned from baseball signed. Right. I mean, it's a world of second chances. It's a country of second chances, but the initial punishment, the message being sent by the NFL in these cases needs to be clearer and needs to be harsher.
Let's round table. What is barring what the evidence is for Antonio Brown? We obviously have to find.
Yeah, it's tough to tell without details.
We have to see the evidence. What should be the appropriate?
Eight games.
We'll start with you, Boccioni. What should be the appropriate consequences for Antonio Brown?
I don't think it should be up to me. I think there should be an immediate response to this situation. I don't think we should go around the room and say what we think it is, because it shouldn't have to be like that. There should be an actual response already there. It should be set in stone what happens. That's what I think.
I think if you're going to make it a specific timetable, you look at what other leagues do. Eight games is half your season. He does it again, then he's done. Or if it's something of absolutely severe circumstances, not to say any domestic violence is better or worse, but when you look at a situation where you had, like, Greg Hardy should have never been allowed to play professional sports again.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's
the guy. He's in UFC now.
Oh, UFC, my bad.
He's in UFC. And
he got
disqualified for his first fight for an illegal down knee. But the guy, you're talking about a guy that absolutely beat the crap out of a woman and then threw her on top of
guns.
Live automatic weapons. And then this is in all my times.
That's a man should be in prison.
He should be. And in all my times of a Dallas Cowboy fan, I've never been more disgraced when they signed him. I've never been more embarrassed to be the team that took Greg Hardy. Really, I've never experienced that at all, where I felt absolutely embarrassed that my team took somebody.
Big Mike?
This guy should not, like, that. Something to that extent should be banned for life.
Right.
I don't want to get into league details because I'm not Roger Goodell. I'm not sitting in the league office, because they have to find a way to make this better. Steelers point of view, I'd cut him right now.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. You don't want – listen, after all the stunts he pulled during the season up until the last week, I'm done. I would be done with his attitude and his antics. So in my personal opinion, I'm not a professional. I think he needs to go see – someone and get himself checked out.
I agree with that.
But I think the Steelers should cut him.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the boat too. They should cut him, and he needs to get help, serious help. This is ridiculous. It's a darn shame, because he's talent-wise, he's the best receiver in all of football, and it's come down to this. He should be suspended for eight games, like Boccioni said, and honestly, we need to get the evidence first, but right now he should be suspended for 8 games. And 25 minutes after the report came out, Antonio Brown posted a Instagram story of a fan getting a Antonio Brown license plate. It says 84 Boomin Empire State. The fan writes on her, again, Antonio Brown put this on his story, but the fan writes, "I've been an AB fan since day one. As much as I want him in Pittsburgh forever, I'm going to have to come to the realization that it may not happen and root for him anyways." Again, this is right after the report came out. "Now, Steelers fans, can you please stop attacking AB, thinking Pittsburgh doesn't need him as wild, and y'all know it. There's two sides to every story, and I haven't heard Antonio's yet." That's what Antonio Brown put in his
story. It's
going to
become a he said, she said at this point.
That was a fan who did that. So
whatever.
Renee?
He should be – I feel like there should be a fine. Like, I agree. Mike Guido said it before. There should be a fine.
Yes.
You lose pay for however long.
That suspended drags out.
Huh?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Suspended half the season. If anything, there has to be some sort of consequence. It doesn't matter what it is. There should be some sort of consequence, at least the suspension.
Yeah.
And so, you lose pay.
Yeah.
100%.
So, I mean, we'll see where this goes with this Antonio Brown. I'm sure we're going to get a lot more information as, you know,
as
these couple days
on,
go
yeah.
on, maybe even today. I'm sure this is going to be a big story now. But, I mean, to me, I don't have any faith that the NFL is going to get this one right because I haven't gotten it right before. But
me either.
We got to hit the break.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll lighten up the mood a little bit. We'll get into our
top five Tuesday.
That was definitely something that we had to address here on Chalk Talk today. But we'll be right back. Here
glad we're all on the same boat as that, too.
Yeah. Of course. You can't not be. But we'll be right back. It's Chalk Talk here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. You're listening to Chalk Talk on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Looks just like him.
Welcome back to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. This is Chalk Talk. I'm John Fogarty. Got James Boccioni to my right, Big Mike Rifkin to my left. Across the room from me, you have Evan Mazza and Renee Canales. So we are here. It is Tuesday. So it is time for Top 5 Tuesday. Today, our topic music.
Yeah, let's get some music. Some lively
some
music.
Tunes, some tunes.
Some good tunes. Good
something
tunes.
Upbeat.
Some Showtime stuff.
Yeah.
Something
peppy.
Yeah.
Put a little pep
like some
out
NBA
step.
Showtime or something like that. I don't know. It's a celebrity game.
But we're going to do our own NBA All-Star Weekend celebrity game lineups from the all-time celebrity pool. We could pick from anywhere in this fantasy draft of sorts that we're having.
Yeah,
that's that'll
perfect.
Do. That will do.
That's awesome perfect. Sauce. That's good. That's good stuff.
So, sorry, I just started thinking of Kawhi Leonard laughing.
All right.
All right. So remember, these could be dead or alive, past or present. We're just going to try to stay away from anyone who has already participated in the NBA celebrity game.
We're going
to
try.
We're going to try. I think I got seven people on my list, or six right now.
I
had a seventh, but I don't know if he's going to make the squad or not.
I have
but we'll
four
see.
Right now.
I'll add a couple of wild cards. If you need one, I'll throw you one. I got you. Don't worry.
That might work, yeah.
Who wants to kick us off, baby? Who wants to throw it? Renee, you want to kick it off?
Yeah,
we'll
start
with
off.
You. Go ahead.
So I'm going to go with Prince.
Why?
Shirts versus blouses, man. I don't know.
Game blouses.
Why? Hey, listen, it's the
blouses
first thing
versus
that
skins. Winner gets my little red Corvette.
It's the first
dude,
thing that popped
don't mess
up.
With little red Corvette.
Apparently, he was really, really good at basketball. So, I mean, why not? Throwing Prince in there. I don't mind it. I don't care.
In your face.
Evan, over to you, bud.
Andre the Giant as my center.
Ooh.
Come at him. Come at the paint, man.
That's a
come
good one, man.
Come in the glass against Andre the Giant. You ain't getting nothing.
Wow, I might need to pull Big Show out of this now.
Oh, dude, that was another one.
I'm sorry. You might need him to go against Andre. Who else is going to go against Andre?
Oh, I got one. I got one.
Okay.
I got Andre's right. matchup
if
right
you
here.
You say Hulk Hogan, get out.
No, it is not.
Big Mike, over to you.
I'm happy you went Andre. I'm not going Big Show. I'm going with The Rock.
Oh, dude!
At the four,
that was another one,
at the four big muscular guys. Plus, he has a show on HBO called Ballers, so you know what that means—that
he's an NFL sports agent.
It's about football.
I know what it's about. I've seen the show, but
anyway, see, you guys seem to be going for skill. This game's about entertainment, baby.
Andre's not entertainment.
This game's about entertainment, baby. So, starting at point guard for me, Bill Murray.
Oh, I thought about him.
You can't. Space Jam. What he showed me in Space Jam, I can't not have him out there running.
A minute and a half, and his knees went on fire.
It's all right. It's all right, man. That's all he needs is I'll put him in the fourth quarter with a couple minutes left just for entertainment purposes.
Oh, I like
you
it.
Can't tell me you wouldn't love to see Bill Murray in his prime in the celebrity
of course
game.
I would. Not bad.
All right, Jimmy, over to you.
Number five for me, the Andre the Giant matchup right here. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, Arnold.
Give me that. I know Giant's huge, but give me that 6'2", 250 frame, man. The Turbo Man coming in.
God,
that guy in the All-Star
I
game
will posterize
would
you.
He would wreak havoc
it's
in the
not a tumor.
Give me Arnold Schwarzenegger on my team. It's my set.
And one. And one.
For three.
Come on, you wouldn't tune in if Arnold's playing?
It's me, Arnold. Renee, over to you.
I can imagine the public address announcer trying he'd be like, give me the mic. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And he wins the MVP, drops the mic, goes, I'll be back.
I'm going with, in response to Evan's Andre the Giant at center, I'm going to have the great Khali.
Oh, my, come
as
on.
My center. Oh, go toe-to-toe, man, with Andre the Giant. How about that?
That's Vince's dream right
that's
there.
That's a Vince McMahon wet dream, if I've ever heard one.
A big mic. Oh, no. It's your turn.
My point guard, Rey Mysterio.
What, are you just going with the WWE lineup?
I will. Rey Mysterio is quick. Dude, he's like, dude's like 50 years old, and he's still fast as everybody else on the roster. I mean, and I've seen that man play a little bit of basketball. I believe I have. That guy can play. He can probably distribute the ball here and there. Rey Mysterio is my point guard. That kid's fast.
Rey Mysterio.
Evan, I mean,
is he wearing the
Mike
mask when he's
you.
Playing?
Yeah, no.
Yes.
It's going
to
limit his court vision.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Up to you, Mike. Mike.
I'm going to go Jerry Seinfeld.
What?
There's interesting.
He's going to get destroyed in the paint.
There's no reason for it, but Jerry Seinfeld, I think, can stroke it a little bit.
Do you think he could coexist with The Rock?
Oh, yeah.
Shoot, if we're going to go Jerry Seinfeld, might as well go Joey Tribbiani.
I'm just saying, I'm taking Kramer over Seinfeld. If I had to take somebody from that lot, okay. I'm either taking Kramer or Newman.
I'm taking Newman.
Hello, Newman.
I'm taking George, actually.
Yeah, Costanza's got pull in the front office. You know Steinbrenner. My next one is a twofer. Because if they were still around with us, I don't know, they would have to kind of be a package deal. Because they couldn't play more than maybe a minute or two at a time before the other would have to sub in. So this is my double dip. Chris Farley and John Belushi.
Yeah!
I think they have to be like, back when you were on the playground, you're like, nah, me and him are a package. Belushi and Farley are a package deal on this team where they'd have to play. It would be a lot of fun, and this is one of the reasons those two just jumped to my mind.
Six men off the bench?
Yeah, they'd have to be rotating at the power
eight
forward.
Eight and ninth men.
Oh, I think Chris Farley could get up there, dude. And jam. Can you imagine? Dude. Just put a trampoline. Put a trampoline. Just come on.
Oh,
just for
my
one play. Put a trampoline, one of those giant trampolines the mascot use, and let Chris Farley and John Belushi try to dunk
that'd
a basketball.
I think, he can get high up there, but not on a basketball court. I'll tell you that
over
much.
To you, Jimmy.
I'll continue the trend because I had one duo on my thing as well. I want to see Shaq and Kobe. Jeff. Shaq and Kobe again together in the celebrity game.
How
playing one more game.
Oh, they played the game
one
before.
More time.
They already had that moment during the All-Star game.
But
they
haven't played together
MVP.
In how many years? One more time, Shaq to Kobe. You don't tell me you wouldn't like that?
Oh, I'd love it. But, I mean, how about a Legends game instead?
Yeah, that'd be different.
That's fair, but, I mean, it's a celebrity game, and they're celebrities at this
point. That could
point.
Be our next maybe top five.
Shaq's on TNT, he's a celebrity.
Fair, Kobe got nominated for an Oscar, so, or an Emmy, whatever. That
I got better
it was
one,
an Oscar, yeah, it wasn't. I think he actually won.
No, he didn't.
He didn't?
I
think that'd be a pretty appealing thing to a fan, to say we got Kobe and Shaq teaming up one more time in a celebrity game.
Shaq.
At the two guard, I'm going to go Mark Wahlberg.
Nice.
I'm going to go Mark. I think he used to play basketball back then, too. I don't know, but something tells me that he'd be pretty good at the two guard over there. Evan?
For every basketball team, you need a butt kicker. You need a guy who's going to be down, dirty. He's going to drill you down to the floor. Mr. T. Who better than Mr. T?
Pity the fool who come in the lane against me.
Your team is going to be really, will be really good in the 90s.
Yeah. That's why I'm building this team. It's going to be rough, tough, physical. Mr. T, just come at him. He's going to whack you.
He's going to block somebody. Pity the fool who tries to dunk on me.
Big Mike.
Couple dunks here and there, man, for Mr. T, too.
What about Mr. T?
Couple dunks for Mr. T here and there, too.
Okay. All right. I can see it. Oh, man. Will Ferrell, just because I want him to be Jackie Moon in this game. Yeah. I don't know if he played, but Jackie Moon live.
I'm sorry, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Jeff supposed Elton John and Mr. Bean.
Best duo is Elton John and Rocket Mr.
Man.
Bean.
Oh, my God.
I'm winning.
Rat Race. What an underrated movie.
Rat Race is great.
John Lovitz,
dude.
All-Star cast. Anthony Anderson.
Oh,
but Big Mike, continue. Sorry, that was too funny to pass up.
No, that's fine. I said Will Ferrell because I want there to be Jackie Moon. I think that'd be epic. And because as folks said earlier,
ELE.
It'd be entertaining.
Really, it's on the wall. Everybody love everybody.
Corn dogs, Jackie. Corn dogs for all these people. All
right, give it to me. Give it back. Give it to me. Give it back. Give it to me. Give it back. Great movie. My next on the list. You know, I debated making him my coach. No, I'm actually going to hold off on this one. I need a pretty boy to rival your Marky Mark. So here's a special one I got for you. Matthew McConaughey.
Oh!
All right.
What is he going to do? He's not going to dribble.
Okay. What are you kidding? McConaughey's a great athlete, man.
He's going to drive in a Lincoln.
Listen to this. One, McConaughey has been at like every Texas football sporting event there's been for the last like 10 years.
So he's on
the, he gave them a speech at the 2005 Rose Bowl.
He's on the bench at the Texas men's basketball team game.
He's basically a
he's
coach.
He's telling them what to do.
Can he ball?
Oh, I think McConaughey can ball, man.
All right.
I would watch it. A little bit of toot, before it goes on. We're coming out to the court.
All right.
We're entering the court. Man comes to town. Man. Money comes in.
Jeff just proposed a point guard of Mike the Situation.
Yeah, baby.
I love his team.
Too bad
team.
He's going to be in jail for the next 8 months.
I know.
Oh, dude.
Your taxes. Pay your taxes.
So on my shooting guard, I'm gonna take Woody Harrelson.
He's gonna come out with
a Billy Hoyle, you know, wearing a Zumba shorts and a backwards hat.
Will he dunk in this game? Will he be?
No,
able
white man
dunk?
Can't jump.
White man can't jump. White man can't jump.
But I mean, if you want to add.
You got to bring Wesley Snipes
with him. Fine.
I was gonna rival him with Wesley Snipes.
Woody Harrelson's got to get his shot as Billy Hoyle in this celebrity game. That's my shooting guard. He's draining.
I'll take that.
Over to you, Renee.
That was mine, James. Darn it.
Sorry, man.
Has Denzel ever played in a celebrity game?
No.
I'm going to go with Denzel, man. I'm going to go with Denzel.
Why?
He'd be my coach, maybe.
Jesus Shuttleworth's dad, dude.
That's a good point. He's got to know something about the game.
He's got to know something. He taught Jesus how to play, man.
Okay. Evan, over to you, man.
We're having too much fun.
We're going to go with Jamal Wallace, Rob Brown, Finding Forrester.
What?
Finding Forrester. Rob Brown.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't know.
You ever seen the movie Finding Forrester?
No, dude.
Explain.
Great movie. It's my brother loves the movie. I've seen it a couple of times. College student, plays basketball, trying to learn from Sean Connery. It's great. Finding Forrester. Great movie.
Okay.
Great movie.
Big Mike.
Sean Connery would be a great coach.
To rival Mr. T, I'm going Chuck Norris.
Oh!
I just think that...
I would definitely tune into the celebrity game if Chuck Norris was on the court.
Thank you, Chuck Norris.
Thank you, God.
Oh, man. Over to my next one. I don't know where he fits into this lineup, but for some reason, I need Rodney Dangerfield on this team.
Hey, there's no respect over here. Hey,
you know, I mean, after seeing him in Caddyshack and what he did as a golfer... I could only imagine Rodney Dangerfield on the basketball court. I could picture him coming out in like the old school, like you said, the Jackie Moon, like tube socks. Come down. Probably would turn the ball over quite a bit, but I would love to see him out there, man. Rodney Dangerfield, one of my favorites from as a kid. He also.
My point guard on this team is going to be Tom Hanks. The man's going to be a floor general, led the Allied forces through Nazi Germany, survived on an island for 3 years by himself. This man can do it all. If I want anyone on my court being my point guard running that team, it's Tom Hanks.
Wilson might get a little bit mad, though, because the ball is sponsored by Spalding.
I don't care. Wilson's gone, man.
Wilson's
in a whale stomach.
Wilson! Somewhere.
Man is a leader. Give me Tom Hanks any day as my point guard. Floor general.
Over to you.
Power forward, I'm going to go with The Rock.
We're reusing guys?
Ew.
We're recycling guys?
Oh, you want me to change it up then?
Yeah, give me some effort.
All right, so you know what? Go around. I'll come back. Come back to me.
Take Stone Cold.
Vin Diesel, damn it. Vin Diesel.
And you take Vin Diesel, the pacifier. Sick. Evan, over to you.
I'm going
to
go in his prime, my superstar player. He's the guy that stirs the drink. Reggie Jackson, my star player.
Wow.
That kid, 5'2 athlete, probably a 5'2 athlete. Great baseball player. Probably could play some basketball. Reggie Jackson, my superstar. Straw that stirs the drink, baby.
Okay. Over to you.
Big Mike.
Barack Obama.
Oh, that's a good one.
I like that a lot.
We know Obama can ball. The dude put a basketball court into the White House, man.
Oh, that would be so great.
He could ball.
I love watching him make his March Madness picks every year and get him every single one wrong. It's terrible. Oh, man. Ooh,
it was
Jeff.
Good for business.
Ooh.
What? Not going to say that one.
Wait for a break to
say
it?
Yeah. But, okay, mine, and we talked about this one a little bit. Adam Sandler, man. You got to get
Sandler. Playing?
Sandler can play wherever he wants. He's going to be my rover. He's going to be the three. He'll play
stretch,
a little bit of two.
Four.
He only played in grown-ups, dude. So that's,
and he hit, like, every single shot.
And he hit dude, the bank shot.
Yeah, the Tim Duncan.
Take it to the bank. If I could set up some plays, you know, a little bit of a pick off the elbow, get Sandler coming around the corner, putting up that bank shot from 15.
Him and Foley's got that chemistry.
Day. Exactly. The chemistry of my team is through the roof.
There.
When you have Sandler, Farley, Belushi, Dangerfield.
It's an SNL reunion, essentially.
Yeah, plus but how are you going to compete? And then Bill Murray. There's so much chemistry there. So much. It's through the roof. And then McConaughey to hold it all together as the pretty boy of the team, because every team needs that. He'll take the media attention
away. Oh, I got my six-man. Don't worry about that. All right, so my power forward. I'm taking a complete my team, my superstar. Give me Tony Gonzalez. I've ever heard for 25 freaking years is how Tony Gonzalez was a basketball player in college. Tony Gonzalez was a basketball player in college. Every time that man touched the ball, oh, yeah, you know Tony Gonzalez played basketball in college? He's retired now. Let me see Tony Gonzalez play basketball in the celebrity game. It's time.
Who's our head coach?
Bill Belichick.
Bill Bell,
see what he can do on a basketball court.
I'm gonna go different. My sports superstar that would be on this team, I'm gonna go a different round. I'm gonna go soccer. I'm gonna go Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Zlatan, because Zlatan could do anything.
I was thinking Ronaldo because of his frame. I want to see him cut through the hoop, but
Zlatan,
I see your idea.
Zlatan's a big dude. He can get up there. He can grab rebounds for you. I think Zlatan would be the guy for me. Coming off the bench, I'd make him my sixth man. I'd bring him off the bench.
Dude, Sam L. Jackson's my coach. Sam L. Jackson's my head coach. Come on.
I'm not the Shepherd Ringo, but I'm trying. Trying real hard. Any motivating speech, he's got you.
Nick Fury, baby.
Eddie Murphy.
Not bad.
No that's, reason.
That's
just,
your head coach?
That's my head coach.
Mine's the guy that played Gandalf.
Ian McClellan?
Yeah, hell yeah. Why would I not want Gandalf the Great, lead my team to victory, man. I'll take Gandalf all day. He's
first
line
of the fifth day
ways.
At dawn. Look to the east.
That's good. We're going to have, and you know, our water boys and the guys that clean up the court, they'll just have the hobbits. The hobbits come on, somebody falls, wrap it up with the sweat. Hobbits get off, you know. Get out of here, Bilbo Baggins.
Why don't you throw yourself down that well and rid us of your stupidity?
Who's your coach?
My coach is going to be Bill Belichick, but I'm going with my sixth man now. My sixth man, give me Zac Efron. You said every team needs a pretty boy. Give me Troy Bolton from High School Musical, man. I want to see what that kid can do in a real game. I don't know if that film was all stage or if he actually hit those jump shots, but I would love to find out.
Get your head in the game.
Give me Zac Efron.
Get
a nice halftime musical show out of it. Give me Zac Efron.
How do we top that?
Sorry, put a little work into this.
I'm so happy you put that in there. Efron's a great one.
Oh,
Is there any other names we want to throw in there?
Professor Xavier, damn it. As my head coach.
I've got two. I want Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith.
Shut up!
And I want
them one-on-one.
I want NBA players critiquing their game like they do.
Isolation at the end of the game. Oh, Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith. Yo. Last bucket. Yo. 2 minutes to go.
Can you imagine Bill Belichick and Professor Xavier as head coach?
Stoic. Both just stoic. Like... Oh, man, let's wrap this up.
And then Gandalf comes in. He's just...
Oh, dude.
You shall not pass.
No. Head coach, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, man.
These are not the drones you were looking for.
This is not the shot you're looking for. Good this stuff. Is the hoops you're looking for.
Let's go to break.
We said it here.
That's a great way. We're going to go to break here. On the last quarter hour of our show here on Chalk Talk, I have to head out. I have a couple of obligations I need to take care of. I need to return some videotapes.
Ooh.
Does anyone know that movie? American Psycho?
No.
Really?
No, but
really.
It sounds like you're going to Blockbuster.
I'm not.
I miss Blockbuster.
A lot of our listeners have to know what Christian
Bale,
Blockbuster. American Psycho.
I've heard of it. I know what it is. I just haven't seen it.
It's great. It's his excuse basically whenever he's going to murder somebody is I have to go return some videotapes, and then he walks out of the room. That doesn't mean I'm going to murder somebody. That doesn't mean I'm going to murder somebody. It was a joke.
Either
I have
on the
to
news
go,
or something.
I have to go pay my car bill before they take my car back.
Yeah, we don't need that.
We don't need
any
other car troubles.
We don't need two carless guys here, bro.
I'm back.
So we're going to send it to break. Everybody have a good rest of your Tuesday. You still have this great stable of the Chalk Talk cast here. Yes. Oh, wild horses.
Can I be just the
wild horses. Sorry.
Couldn't take me away to break.
Couldn't take me away to break.
Hit it.
Send us.
The Worldwide Sports Radio Network. You're listening to Chalk Talk on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. I am Renee Canales, and I'm steering the ship for the last 15 minutes. James Boccioni, straight
ahead.
I'm
actually a licensed captain, so.
Oh, that's good. Cool.
You really?
You could be my co-captain. I don't know what they call that in...
A skipper.
A skipper, there you go.
Skipper?
First mate, if you will. I'll swab the poop deck.
Skipper, don't you think we should tell him that the boat's out of gas? Nah. Smile away, boys.
As you heard over there, James Boccioni straight
ahead.
Just
call me Quint from Jaws.
Evan Mazza to my right. Big Mike, our producer over there, behind the sticks. So, something came out earlier today from Aaron Judge, right fielder for the New York Yankees, number 99.
And so we're judging him now.
We are judging him.
Judge.
We are the jurors. Right, in this occasion. Aaron Judge came out and said, I'd play center field if we signed Bryce Harper. Now, the question I want to pose to you guys. Should the Yankees... Well, there are mystery teams in there in the Bryce Harper sweepstakes, as we all know. As we've known for like the last 7 months, it feels like.
Give Inspector Clouseau or Basil from the Great Mouse Detective.
So you want to hear, more, a little extended quote? So he says... Aaron Judge speaking on Bryce Harper. He says, he's got more speed than me, man, Judge said, smiling. Wherever he wants to play, we'll make it work. So Judge really will play anywhere. He wants Bryce Harper on this team. And he says, if we get Bryce Harper, we'll make it work because that's Bryce Harper.
So I want to pose this question to you. Should the Yankees go out and explore the option of bringing in Bryce Harper?
Absolutely. I've only been saying it since the start of the offseason.
No, we've been saying it, but it's been said that the Yankees don't want to get Bryce Harper.
Well, they don't want to pay Bryce Harper.
They don't want exactly.
They want Manny.
Let me clarify the way I said it. They don't want to pay Bryce Harper. It's not that they don't want him. They don't want to pay that money for Bryce Harper.
And I don't blame them for not wanting to pay that money because that's a lot of money. And the Yankees have some other holes as opposed to going out and getting a Bryce Harper. I still think they need a top of the rotation starter.
You can still get that through a trade.
Yeah, you.
No,
could.
No, I know you can. But at some point, you're going to have to pay. Judge,
which I heard is actually something that they're working on because the Giants want Jacoby Ellsbury, so they want to flip flop.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah,
no, I know. Yeah. I'm kidding. I've heard that too, but
the money.
I can't believe why.
Would it just be for
expiring swap of expiring contracts.
For Cueto, right?
Yeah, for Cueto.
Oh,
why would Cueto's
also hurt?
Yeah, Cueto's coming off Tommy John. Yeah, that's the other thing. I think to me, if
if I'm going to deal with the Giants, I know the pitcher I'd want.
We all know we want, but that's
but
not going to
happen. But that looks like it's not happening.
But
we still the deadline.
Well, what if the Giants are in it?
I was going to change the subject, so go on the Giants.
Sorry.
No, no worries.
No, I just said at least not until the deadline.
Well, no. I said, if the Giants are in, they're not going to deal then.
Oh.
I don't think the Giants will be in it.
The Giants are in full tech mode. This is a team that's going to be.
Not a good team.
They got three teams in that two teams in that division who are clearly the best.
They had their run. The Giants run is over.
They won three championships.
Yeah. 3-5, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they tried to bring back the fellas, kind of like what the Blackhawks did in the NHL.
Yeah.
Tried to recreate the magic last year and it just didn't work. Mm-hmm. So now they got a completely.
And you can get a nice rebuild starting piece for a mad bum.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What were you going
to
say?
To the Yankees. So I feel like this Aaron Judge saying this, does it kind of give Brian Cashman more incentive to kind of do this, knowing that your players want him? And I mean, this is Aaron Judge we're talking about, the face of the franchise.
Yeah,
I agree. I see what you're saying, but Brian Cashman has never been one to.
But it's not. He's not
do
like
that necessarily. I guess you can say.
But you don't think he sees this?
Absolutely. And I'm pretty sure that Brian Cashman has kicked the tires on talking to Bryce Harper.
I'm sure he's making a call.
If he hasn't, then he's failed to do his due diligence as a general manager and a president of baseball operations.
You don't think you can get Harper to come in at like a six? Or like maybe like a five with options like for opt-outs at year three or opt-outs in year four and just kind of give
but
them like a front-loaded contract
money.
And kind of say, all right, like you're still going to have a chance to get a contract when this is over. You can opt out if you want to. If you're having a great season, thinking you can get more if you're year three, okay, fine. And if it works out, we'll even give it to you. But we're not going to give you 10 years. That's where I feel like these contract situations are going because it's clearly clear that no team wants to give any of these players 10
years. That's where the stall is.
So it's going to have to be like a 6 or a 7 or a 5 year deal with opt outs after year 3 or year 4 or something
like
that.
Well, I think the smart thing
is. And the players are going to have to try and just take that early money and trust in themselves that they can get that money if they can get it. I mean, it's.
Right.
I think
they're still going to be getting paid.
I think the smart thing for these players is to go on 5 year contracts because at the end of the day, you're still going to get one more big one.
Exactly.
If
that's
the
why the opt out. So I'm
exactly.
saying through year two and through year three, and you're having a killer season and better than think you can get that at 10 years again, you still have another shot at it because you're still only 28.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I'm the Yankees and I'm Brian Cashman, I'm making a call. Because why not? You're only going to be improved. You're going to get that lefty bat that you also need in your lineup.
Desperately.
That's already a right handed stacked lineup. That's all righties pretty much. You're going to get that left-handed bat that you're going to put in the 3 or 4 spot
think
in your batting lineup.
Think about that 2, 3, 4, 5.
It's disgusting. It's
if you go, if you went Harper, Stanton, Judge, and Gary Sanchez, any combination of the four is easily the best 2, 3, 4, 5 in baseball.
So and then you get Didi back.
So the way that would be structured is Aaron Hicks at one batting leadoff. You go Aaron Judge, Bryce Harper, Giancarlo Stanton. Gary Sanchez.
Where's the relief?
And don't forget, you still have Miguel Andujar, who can pop 25.
Luke Voit.
You still got Luke Voit, who we saw can hit home runs in that second half of the season. You still have a Gleyber Torres, who can pop 20 home runs.
Gleyber Torres, that's like ninth on that
team. He bats ninth. You're still going to have a Didi Gregorius, who's going to come back, and he could pop you 25 home runs. This is that would be a disgusting lineup to be facing if you're a starting pitcher, game in and game out. And on top of that.
It would make them automatically make them instant World Series favorites.
Instantly.
They're already World Series favorites. But the Yankees do not want to open the wallet for Bryce Harper. I don't think they want him. It's clear as day the Yankees do not want Harper. They want Manny.
I get why they want Manny because it's infield relief but to me it makes no sense.
I really think Harper wants the Yankees more than Manny wants the Yankees too, though. And if you can get one on a deal like I was saying, then you'd just be stupid not to do it. Like Renee said, you'd not be doing your due diligence as a franchise if he's accepting to make a deal with you and you're not working with him.
To be completely honest, both players really want the Yankees, which is why they still haven't signed
Manny.
That has to be the reason why. Manny and Bryce Harper are both banking on the Yankees making a late push for them. That's why they haven't signed.
Well, have we gotten an official offer from the Padres yet for any of these players?
They met with Harper.
No. Have we gotten an offer or anything?
No.
Are they offering
10
years?
No, I don't think so.
Because if they were offering 10 years and they hadn't taken it yet, then I'd be like, oh, well, what are you doing then? Then it'd be clear that they're waiting for another team. But, I mean, we don't have those numbers. We don't have that information.
No, there has been. They met with Harper.
This has been as close negotiations as I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing has really leaked
besides
that White Sox 7 years, whatever it was, that leaked out for Manny Machado, which apparently wasn't true according to the agent, but nothing has leaked out. Nothing whatsoever. I mean, where does it go from here? What do the Yankees do?
7 days from spring training. At this point, it's you either sign the Yankee Heat, the Yankees, or whoever brings Harper or Machado in.
Listen,
and that's that.
We've grown up in a generation in which the Yankees have done things very under the table, and out of nowhere they've gotten the deals done or trades done. Is this one of these situations in which the Yankees are flying under the radar here, and then just one moment, bang, Yankees sign Manny Machado or Bryce Harper?
No, because I don't think it's a necessity for the Yankees. I think we're talking about they want the Yankees.
It never was a necessity for the Yankees to go out and get all those players.
But you're the New York Yankees. You can afford a luxury toy.
I know you can. But if you look at what they said a few years ago on how they're going to build this team based on their prospects, this and that, don't forget there's also talks of Arenado next year already. There's talks of this and that. Do you really need – do you prefer Harper or Machado?
I've always said Harper.
Or do you prefer Nolan Arenado next year? So that's the decision I think the Yankees internally are making.
Well, I mean, I haven't really heard much on the Arenado front that he wants to be in New York or anything like
well,
that.
Well, no. It's more so – speculation.
It's more
from
so the
insiders.
Media making that speculation.
So why not get a guy who you already know wants to be here, and he's Bryce freaking Harper?
You got two guys that really want to be here. Two guys. Manny Machado and Bryce Harper that desperately want to be here.
I can't answer that.
I'm just saying, there's two guys that desperately want to be here, but there's nothing being done about it.
Because they're not probably coming off the years or the money.
No, 100%. And we know the Yankees do things now
differently than
they used to. I feel like if the Yankees do end up getting either one or both,
it'll be a 5-year deal.
It's going to be a deal where the Yankees were patient and they got what they wanted to get.
The Yankees are going to win.
And I do think that it's going. I kind of want to say right now that I think I'm leaning towards the Yankees being the favorite.
We can never count out the Yankees.
I really am.
We've learned
really
to never count them
out. I've seen too many
out.
Other teams meet with them and nothing happened and nothing come from it to say the Yankees aren't going to sweep it and get this thing done.
The Yankees are the type of team that, like I said, they sit back, they wait, then they pounce on what they want.
Can I throw something out there? It's off the Yankees, but it has to do with these two guys.
Yeah. Sure.
We've heard all offseason the Phillies have money to blow. They've been linked to both these guys. If the Phillies don't wind up with either one of these two guys,
turmoil.
Is this offseason a failure for the Philadelphia?
Absolutely. Of course it is.
Because they said they would not be outbid by anybody.
They're going after Realmuto.
And everybody's going after Realmuto. That's another name that...
The Phillies have brought in Gene Segura, which is an underrated, very good move this season. But Andrew Tim alone isn't enough. That's not enough. If you bring in a Harper or Machado, then at that point, then you're talking about a baseball team.
Corbin said no to them.
That's what I was getting for.
Corbin said no.
I heard the Long Island
Ducks are in on Realmuto, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And the Brooklyn Cyclones and the Sugarland Skeeters.
Sugarland Skeeters.
They signed James Loney today.
What's up?
The Sugarland Skeeters. Nice. James Loney. Wow.
That's right.
He's going to play.
What are the odds of that?
He's going to play first base and he's going to pitch for them.
Nice.
And Rays pitch. Legend.
Wow. Nice. How about that?
Hey, James Loney will always be remembered for that home run he hit against with the Phillies. Against the Phillies in the final day of the Mets.
He
hit the home run on the day they clinched the wild card playoff.
Yep.
The wild card spot. There you go. That's my moment. James Loney moment. Yeah. The best was Loney guest of the Mets. He hits a couple home runs and classic Mets fans are like, he's better than Lucas Duda. Start him over Lucas Duda. He's miles better than Lucas Duda. Because Mets fans always have to say one guy is better than some other guy.
I always called them Looney Tunes.
So what do we give that? Man, what do we give the Yankees a chance? Do we give them a chance? Do you think this could happen?
I think they're the favorite. I just said it.
You think they're their absolute favorites? For who? For which one?
For Bryce Harper.
Manny. Still is Manny. 90%.
I wouldn't rule out both of them. I really wouldn't.
I'll say 90%
I don't think they'd
Manny.
Go that. I don't think they'll go
well,
that.
I would,
I think
what,
they'll
his,
get
history
one
has dictated. Why would I think otherwise?
I think they'll get one or the other. I don't think they'll get both. If it was to come down to that. Big Mike, what do you say?
I lean that they go for Harper, but I don't think – in my mind, I still don't think they wind up with either. I think there's a price they have set on both.
I think one of them is going to just take it.
Okay.
Because they haven't taken any other offers. They've met with all the other interested teams. They've already met with all these teams.
You know what to me it is? Mm-hmm. If they so desperately want to come to the Yankees and it's not about the money – then they'll take whatever the Yankees offer. If it's about the money, Then they go to the White Sox or the Padres.
What about a
or
team
the
like the St. Louis Cardinals sweeping in and getting Manny Machado?
They really should.
I would not. I would not be surprised if that happened. That could be one of the mystery teams.
I'm not ruling them out on Machado. I'm still not ruling the Dodgers out on Harper. I still got that feeling that.
Well, they made that move to trade Yasiel Puig to the Cincinnati Reds.
Think that Bryce Harper is dead set on being a New York Yankee. That's what I really think this comes down to.
Listen, if he doesn't sign with the Nationals.
Because he's only been saying that his entire career. He's a Yankee fan. That's what he is. That's what he's always wanted to do is play for the New York Yankees. Mm-hmm. He's been waiting for this moment his entire career to sign with the New York Yankees.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the Yankees want him.
Listen, I think he'll make it work with them.
Listen, as long as he doesn't sign with the Phillies or Nationals,
If he goes back to the Nationals, I will.
I think that would have been done already.
If he goes to Brian Cashman and says, "I'll shave this whole thing off. I'll shave this entire beard off. Just sign me now."
Who cares if Bryce Harper goes back to the Nationals?
You have the guts to do.
Who cares if Bryce Harper goes back to the Nationals? They've never cut and passed the.
Oh no! It just pissed me off after all this to drag us all out and then go back to Washington. Like, screw you, bud. That's about what I think about that.
Well, ladies,
because they gave him an offer first.
I'll say 90% chance Manny will be a Yankee. I think Manny is the one waiting.
One
on
of
the
them.
Yankees.
I think it's Harper, one, and I don't think it's both.
Harper.
I agree. One.
Harper.
I just think Harper though.
I think we'll either go back to Washington or go to Chicago.
I've said it from the start. I want Harper as a Yankee, but
Cashman's got to get that done, man.
I'd prefer Harper more, so I'll lean more towards Bryce Harper being a Yankee. But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of the road here on Chalk Talk today for Tuesday, February 5th. For James Boccioni, our producer Big Mike Rifkin, Evan Mazza to my right, and also John Fogarty, who left 15 minutes ago. I am Renee Canales. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow from 2 to 4 p.m. here on the new Worldwide Sports Radio Network, and we will see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
See ya.
It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.